Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord. According to Holy Scripture, during Jesus' earthly life and ministry, he did not live for the sake of lording over others, like you and I often do. His entire earthly life was dedicated to serving God and man. And if Jesus would not have prevented it, the full brightness of his divine glory would have shone through his human nature at all times. But in the interest of his work of salvation, he did not appear as God himself, but as a servant. He appeared as an ordinary man, even to the point of dying a suffering death on the cross. And we see this ordinary man as he travels around healing the sick, the lame, the blind, casting out demons. And many people, when they saw him, they mistook him for John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets. Just before Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross, he led Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain all by themselves. And it was there that Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light, brighter than could be bleached. To these three disciples and these three alone, Jesus gives just a brief glimpse of his divine glory, his unveiled divine glory. He reveals that he's not just another man, he is God in the flesh of man. Suddenly, Moses appears, representing the Old Testament law, and then Elijah, representing all of the Old Testament prophets. And they're talking with Jesus high on the mountain. St. Luke tells us in his gospel that they appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' exodus, his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem, which would be his innocent suffering and death on Calvary's cross to win salvation for all mankind. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, they were never an end in themselves. That is the law of the prophets. The law of the prophets point to and find their completion in Jesus. They served God's people as a teacher and a guardian until Christ came. As Jesus himself says, he didn't come to abolish the law and prophets. He came to fulfill them. And in the chapter leading up to our epistle text this morning, St. Paul has been describing how the Old Testament covenant is replaced in Christ Jesus and the new covenant. Paul says that while the letter of the law kills, it's only the Holy Spirit who gives life. So to be sure, the Old Covenant came with glory, but it was a reflected glory. Paul compares the fading glory of the Old Covenant to Moses coming down off Mount Sinai after Moses met with God. And he goes on to say, the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. And as you heard in our text, Moses would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. What Paul is teaching here is the law cannot save you. It can only show you the depth of your sinfulness. It shows how you and I deserve eternal damnation. It shows us our desperate need for a Savior. Regardless of how good you believe yourself to be, and regardless of how hard you try to keep God's law, well, your ability to keep it always falls short of what God demands. You cannot do it, and neither can I. So the law served as a teacher and a guardian. The book of Hebrews says, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So to forgive your sins, blood must be shed. And when we look to the Old Testament and the law, each and every bull and goat that was sacrificed taught that for atonement and forgiveness of sins, that animal's bloodshed was required to cover those sins. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would present two goats before the people. On the first goat, it would be slaughtered, and its blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies as a sin offering for all the people. Then the second goat would be brought forward, an innocent scapegoat, as it were. That's the one the priest would place his hand on, and he would confess all the sins and transgressions of the people upon that goat, transferring their sin and iniquity onto that goat, and then that goat would be sent out into the wilderness to die. In this manner, God's people are being taught how the Lord God would redeem the world by the shedding of innocent blood and transferring all of our sins and iniquities onto a human scapegoat. It all points ahead to Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. And with every Passover celebration, Israel is taught to look to the Lamb of God, the one who would once and for all time take away the sins of the world. The Old Covenant taught a glorious truth, but it was veiled. The fullness was not revealed. It was not fully revealed. It was intended to fade away. And unfortunately, even today, many cannot see past the Old Covenant. All they can see is that we have a God who makes a lot of demands that we cannot keep. They do not see the gracious blessings that God has veiled within his law. And for them, the truth remains veiled. It's only when God the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens that the veil is removed and the truth is revealed. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible remains the closed book, and we miss seeing the one behind the veil. The law and the prophets point to and find their completion in Christ Jesus. He is the one who is veiled in the Old Testament, but now is unveiled in the New. He's found on every page of Scripture, old and new. In our epistle text, Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth and to Christians of all times, all who have salvation by trusting in Christ and his unveiled gospel message. God, the Holy Spirit, working through that proclaimed gospel, has brought them to faith. It has brought you and I to faith by the very same means. He has brought them to faith by the very same means that he's brought you and I to faith. But unfortunately, even though Christ has been fully revealed in as God's own Son and Savior of the world, you and I not only attempt to veil the truth of the gospel, we often blind ourselves to the gospel. Because of being born into sin, you and I and all mankind are natural enemies of God. We daily struggle against our sinful ways. In Luther's Large Catechism, he writes, although we have received forgiveness and a good conscience and are entirely acquitted, yet our life is of such a nature that we stand today and tomorrow we fall. Therefore, even though we are godly now and stand before God with a good conscience, we must pray again that he would not allow us to fall again and yield to trials and temptations. We have a daily battle against the unholy Trinity, that whole unholy Trinity being our sinful flesh, the world, and the devil. The devil leads you to despise God's word and Christ's work of salvation on your behalf. He works to tear you away from faith, hope, and love in Christ, and wants to purge you into unbelief so that you trust alone in yourself. The world drives you to anger and impatience, hatred, envy, unfaithfulness, vengeance, pride, gossip, desire of power regarding the sinful flesh. Regarding the sinful flesh, Luther writes, "For we dwell in the flesh and carry the old Adam about our neck. He exerts himself and encourages us daily to unchastity, laziness, gluttony, drunkenness, greed, and deception, to defraud our neighbor and to overcharge him. In short, the old Adam encourages us to have all kinds of evil lusts, which cling to us by nature, and to which we are moved by the society, the example, and what we hear and see of other people." Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord calls us to repentance. Repent of all your sins in thought, word, and deed. Repent of all those things that you have done or left undone. Repent and receive the forgiveness of Jesus, your Savior. He promises to remember your sins no more. He promises to remember your lawless deeds no more. In Jesus' transfiguration, death, and resurrection, God's boundless mercy and love has been unveiled to you. It is fully revealed. Christ shows himself to be God covered in human skin, but yet the only Savior of the world. And you are God's chosen one, adopted in the waters of holy baptism. And our Lord calls you and I to repent of our sins and believe in the unveiled gospel of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Yes, in baptism you were united with Jesus' death and resurrection and clothed with the righteousness of Christ and his transfiguration glory. St. Paul tells us that we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, the law could never produce a change such as this, because you and I cannot keep the law. But the gospel can promote this change, and the gospel does. It's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. All Holy Scripture is about Christ. It's all about Christ and what he accomplished for you on Calvary's cross, in your stead, so you might have eternal life. And your transfiguration continues all throughout this life, and it will be completed in eternity. Like Moses' face, or like a mirror, you, as a Christian, reflect Christ to those in your station of life and vocation. That way, when others look at you, they see the glory of Christ in you. And like St. Paul, you have a hope that you too can be that bold servant of Jesus, proclaiming Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of sinners, of which you and I are the foremost. As St. Paul writes in our text, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Yes, it is a lifelong journey for the Christian as God continues his transforming and transfiguring work in you as you continue to hear the gospel proclaimed, as you continue to remember your baptismal promises, and as you continue to eat and drink of our Lord's body and blood given in his Holy Supper. A lifelong process, only to be brought to completion at your exodus, your departure into eternal life. In his earthly life, St. Paul had faced much tribulation and persecution. How can Paul continue to press on with in his ministry and not lose heart after all that tribulation? Well, it's because Paul knows that it's not about him. He knows that it's not about Moses or Elijah. No, he knows the ministry, the proclamation is all about Christ Jesus and him crucified. And that message remains the same until the end of time. Paul is free to proclaim the gospel, just as you and I are free. Free to use the opportunities that God gives you in your vocation to confess Christ, knowing that the results don't weigh on your shoulders, but the Holy Spirit brings them to completion. So Paul doesn't have to resort to disgraceful, underhanded ways. He doesn't have to resort to coercion or deception. He doesn't have to sugarcoat God's word to make it more palatable or pleasing to the hearers. There were plenty of those types in Paul's day, as there are in ours. Simply confess Christ when and wherever God gives you the opportunity, and let God give the growth. If the message is joyfully received, well, thanks be to God. And if it is rejected, and you and I know it will be rejected strongly at times, but it's only rejected because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, dear Christian, do not lose heart, because the results are not your responsibility. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can thaw and soften stone-cold hearts. It's God alone who creates and sustains faith in the believer. And as a baptized and forgiven believer, for all whom the Holy Spirit has lifted the veil of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to be a bold witness and confessor of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. You're enabled to proclaim the excellencies of him who brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.